All right, we have 5 lights.
Yay!
All right. Well, welcome you all to another session of Dungeons & Dragons.
Yay!
Yay!
Last time in the episode I've entitled The Cat and the Rat.
It's fair.
I'm a tabaxi.
Right?
Sorry. The tabaxi and the rataxi.
That's not funny. Tabaxi don't have a sense of humor.
This tabaxi doesn't.
This one doesn't, yeah. Humorless Tony arrived at the Vexing Viper, a tavern in the city of Vice, Tabar. He arrived with only a few copper pieces in his pocket. The bartender Vic, a half-orc with fading eyesight as he enters his autumn years, mistook him for another tabaxi named One Fang. Gave him 50 gold pieces and told him to take care of the rat problem in the basement. Tony went to the basement looking for rats, and instead of finding literal rats, found a metaphorical rat, Taika, bound and gagged in the chair. He untied her just in time for One Fang to show up. One Fang revealed that Taika shouldn't have betrayed Talia, the head of the Orana crime family, which was a surprise to Taika, who, in her mind, done no such thing.
Nothing whatsoever. So rude.
Tony and Taika teamed up to fight One Fang. It was a hard fight. You both almost went down.
We were very close.
However, you both emerged victorious over One Fang and took a magical amulet off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, finding a secret passage out of the tavern basement, you all fled into the sewer system. Got a bit lost. But thanks to the help of some people that live down there, you're able to find your way over to Taika's safe room on the other side of town, just behind the Look and Touch brothel. The Look and Touch is Wheatflow territory, another rival crime family in Tabar. You all laid low, got some rest, and then the next morning, Taika decided to seek out and talk to Evelyn, a young ASMR enforcer that works for the Wheatflow family and is a rival of sorts to herself. You found Evelyn at the Hair Today, Gone Tomorrow Tavern. Mm. And had a chat with her, where she revealed that news of One Fang's demise has quickly spread across the community, and also revealed being kept far more on the DL was that Gavin Farlight, Talia's second-in-command, was murdered. The word on the street is that Taika performed the crime. Taika, realizing that she'd been framed for the murder, decided probably best to get out of town. Evelyn recognized Tony from his wanted poster, and Tony also thought, yeah, maybe you should go. So, the lot of you went to, got some supplies, and then headed to Umfloko, taking the road through the kind of wooded countryside that is around you all. Having a little chat along the way about the things you've done and why you're there. So, it is the 2nd of Grinning. It is Queen's Day. Y'all have been traveling down the road between Tabar and Umfloko.
Okay.
It is getting to be near the end of the day. Along the road, you've passed travelers going the opposite way and overtaken a few slow caravans. Things have been pretty quiet along the road. How do you two pass the time?
I would probably tell stories of cons that I pulled whenever I was a youngster. That is not what I currently do, but like when I was 7, we did this. Tourist had no idea what was going on. It was hilarious. And we made like 2 gold.
Well, that's not very honest.
Yeah, it's all right. We were criminals. I am a criminal.
You're a criminal?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I am, too.
Oh yeah. I mean, you don't get tied up and bound in a basement for being a rat, you know, doing legal shit, you know. Tabar is just like a city full of criminals. They're all criminals.
And tourists. So really, it's like a criminal's paradise.
Criminals and tourists. Yeah, that's all they do there.
You know, and the criminals are able to get them legally and illegally.
Mm-hmm. Both. All the way around.
They can't get your, you know, if they can't empty your wallet at the casino, they'll empty it behind the casino.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes. The kids will empty it behind the casino. The people my age, like, once you're not a kid anymore, you move on to more structured crime. Mm-hmm.
But you don't, like, take money from people that can't afford to let it go, right? Like, you don't, like, steal from poor people.
Poor people don't have any money, so there's nothing to steal. So I guess no.
Okay.
I mean,
I guess that's okay.
There's no use stealing from somebody who isn't an idiot with their purse hanging loose, you know? I mean, and if you're in the city of Tabar and your purse is just hanging there, free enough for a kid to swipe it, well, you kind of got what was coming to you. I'm just saying.
Huh. Never thought of it like that.
Yeah, so watch your purse. Yeah. It should always be... I won't steal from you, but if we are places, if we are places with children, don't keep your purse anywhere but like tucked away.
Children are criminals?
Yeah, dude.
Oh my goodness.
For sure. I started stealing shit when I was like 5 years old.
Five?
I mean, you're 5 years old, you're tall enough to right at the waist and run away before they can catch you. It's
oh
great.
My.
It's great.
Oh my, my, my.
It's a great way to get food on the table, or just in your mouth. There's no table whenever you're five and a criminal. You know. You just steal shit.
So you're never safe. That's what you're saying.
Never. You don't grow up in a city like that and think safe.
Yeah. I mean, I was never safe, but I always assumed that once I got out of the wizard's tower that I would be safe, but it sounds like that is not in the cards for me.
I mean, you make your own kind of safe eventually. Like, in Tabar, I know that you've met me when I was pretty much at a really low point. But other than that, pretty much no one was willing to fuck with me. Because they know who I worked for, you know? I had a reputation. I miss it already. It's very nature-y out here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. You can climb on all the trees, and I kind of jump into the trees and kind of do my my tabaxi thing, and then I come back
four
down.
Times. That was awesome. That was awesome. You move very fast. I can fly. I'll lift up off the ground a little bit.
Holy shit!
I know, right? They actually work! It's really cool. I love flying.
I thought they were just creepy bat wings.
They're that, too. They're very good at intimidation, just by themselves. And I'll kind of, like, fluff them up a little bit and loom. Yeah, they're fun. I like flying quite a lot. Quite a lot. I was just checking. I know that my character's all of a sudden like, oh yeah, nature. I'm proficient in nature somehow. what time of year is...
I can give you an exact answer. I believe it's fall.
Fall? Okay.
too much navigating. My folder system is too deep. Yeah, it's late autumn. Okay. So it is... Yeah, it's actually a pretty pleasant time to be walking around. Now, granted, this peninsula is a little more, it's closer to the equator than, say, Carthalia, so it's warm, it's hot, but it's not like those blazing hot days where you just want to, like, lay in the shade all day. So, the humidity's down a bit, there is a bit of a coolness to the breeze as you...
And are we walking in just, like, dense, heavily forested, or...?
It's a pretty thick forest, yeah.
But there's probably a path.
No, you're on a road.
Yeah.
You're on a well-traveled road.
Okay. But since it's near the equator, like, things aren't, like, turning colors or anything. It's
no,
tropical.
No beautiful foliage.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. I'm not mad. Okay. Cool. What time of day is it?
It's getting near the, you've been on the road for about 8 hours.
Oh, okay. So probably time to start finding some place to stay.
Yeah. And as you think that, and as your stomach starts to rumble, you come around a bend in the road and you start to hear the sounds of music and laughter.
Oh. We'll check that out.
Yeah, might as well.
Okay.
And so as you come around the corner, you see off to the side of the road a large three-story establishment. You see there's some, caravan wagons parked to the side of it with some guards sitting outside around the caravan wagons, like sharing drinks with each other, laughing and talking. You see horses stabled up. There's a big formal stable, but there's also just some that are hitched at like a hitching post out front. And in big, bright letters painted on this very sort of flat wooden side of the building, you see the Dayaway Roadhouse.
Dayaway?
Mm-hmm. All over.
It's very much giving me Zelda Breath of the Wild horse stables feels.
A little bit, yeah. just a little bigger, less tinty.
Yeah, but just in the middle of nowhere is what caught me. I guess we're only an 8 hours walk from the city, though.
That's a day's travel, yeah.
Okay.
About a day away from the...
And how many days is it to Umfaloko?
Two, so you're already halfway.
Oh, okay, cool.
So that's what I really was for earlier.
Nice. Okay, so we could just stay here the night?
Yeah.
Cool. We'll walk up then.
Here. Yeah, the two of you start walking up to the tavern. Some caravan guards that are clearly starting to get in their cups kind of give you all a friendly, just kind of raise their glasses as you, just friendly as you walk by.
Mm-hmm.
As you walk into the Dayaway Roadhouse, you hear music and smell freshly cooking foods, the smell of ale, sweat, not bad sweat, just like kind of like club sweat.
Also, ew, fine.
But as you come in, there is a large tap room to your right with mm-hmm. tables and a big, like, very ornate wooden bar. People kind of gathered at various tables. To the left, you see what looks to be more of a performance room, kind of a lounge area. It's got steps to go down, and then kind of tables seated all along. There is some upbeat kind of sitar music that's playing, and you see a troupe of four belly dancers, men and women, that are doing a performance, and people are, kind of clapping along and
mm-hmm.
hollering and hooting.
Nice. Well, I will, I'll go ask about rooms, I guess?
Yeah, rooms and food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to grab us a table?
Yeah.
Cool.
Which side are you going to grab a table on?
Probably not the side with the belly dancers, because it just seems like there's going to be a lot of carousing over there, and I'd rather kind of keep an eye on the carousing.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so, you head over to the tap room, and you're able to find, a table in the corner that kind of... with your back to the wall and
perfect.
With the mm-hmm. lookout of the entire room.
And I also open up my mouth like cats do, because there's so many smells to take in.
Nice.
It's a little overwhelming. Mm-hmm.
As you take in the smells, you get roasted meats and potatoes and veggie stew, perhaps?
I get a little trickle of drool that starts to form on my whiskers.
Mm-hmm. As you make your way up to the bar, a... kind of a friendly, wide-set woman with wearing a bustier
mm-hmm.
Greets you, and she says, "Welcome," she says, "to the Dayaway Roadhouse." She says, I have a knack for faces. First time I'm seeing you here."
"Yes."
She says, "Name's Morana. What can I do for you?"
Two rooms and two plates of food."
She says, all right. She says, She says, "Now we do have a levels of accommodation." She says, "Looking for the basic or the deluxe?"
You're really leaning into the Breath of the Wild, aren't you?
Apparently, I am.
Just basic, I assume. Is that put us in the barn?
No, no. She says, the barn. She says, I figured you were too well dressed for the barn.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
She says, okay, well, between the food and the stay, that'll be 5 silver pieces each, so one gold piece.
That's a lot. Okay, I'll hand over a gold and just mitigate my expectations next time.
Says, thank you so much. She says, any dietary restrictions for your meal?
I don't think so. Hey, do you have any dietary restrictions?
No!
No. We're right. Good.
Well, go ahead and have a seat with your friend, and I'll be right back out with your food.
Thanks.
And she slides 2 keys over you with numbers on them.
I'll take those. Does the food come with ale?
She says it sure does.
Okay, good. Thanks. And then I walk away. This friendliness is weird.
So as you take a look around, you see along the walls are all sorts of, like, kitschy advertisements for Tabar City Advice. You see kind of paintings of famous musical acts that have performed here and kind of like show posters and stuff like that. You're getting a big wall drug vibe from this.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I get you.
Are there any wanted posters?
None that you've seen here so far. They didn't have a wanted board. So after you get seated and settled, Morana comes over a few minutes later, holding an impressive number of plates and cups in her hands. Mm-hmm. She sets you down each a freshly baked small loaf of bread, a cup of soup, a plate that has potatoes and some sort of roasted beef, you'd guess, along with a side of vegetables. Mm-hmm. She hands down some forks and knives, and then a little mint.
And a little mint.
And then 2 mugs of ale.
Nice. Okay. Cool. Thank you.
And she says, and if you need to wipe the dust off the road of you, she says, we do have a bathhouse out back, she says, with a heated tub. She says, feel free to avail yourself to that. And, of course, we'll have entertainment here all evening until 2 in the morning. So if there's anything else I can get you, first ale is free. Refills, copper apiece.
Okay. Cool. Thanks.
She's so very cheerful.
Yeah, it's a little overwhelming.
I know, right? I mean, I know they do that to people, in the, that's the front, but she's so genuinely cheerful.
And what about me makes her think that I would want to go into a bathhouse? Isn't there, water in there? Not a fan.
So do you just do, dust baths, or...
Well, I keep myself clean. I'm a clean Tabaxi, but, I don't need water.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I've met a lot of Tabaxi. I did not realize that water wasn't, I guess it makes sense, but...
I mean, some are more okay with it than others. Mm-hmm. I'm not.
Fair enough. Just hadn't really thought it to its complete, just hadn't really thought of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll eat.
Alright, you break open your bread and steam pours out of it. Mm-hmm. You look over and it came with a little dish of butter. As you spread the butter onto the bread and take a bite of it, you realize there's honey in the butter.
Oh wow, nice.
As you eat the meal, you actually are like, man, this is actually a much better meal than
I would ever typically get. Yeah, I'm getting that vibe. Nice.
I'm going to bend over to my ale and just take a few licks.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's good ale.
And then I pick it up and I drink it.
I love it. I do look at you like, okay, she's okay. In my head, I'm like, this is a tactic.
As we're eating, are we noticing anybody watching us?
Roll me a it's called an insight check. Do you also want to roll?
Yeah, I'll roll.
Oh, which one? 21.
Ooh. Did you add your stuff to it? Oh, yeah. I did. You said insight? What's insight? 20.
All right. So, you look around, and you seem to be, like, nobody seems to be paying much attention to you except Morana.
The barkeep?
Mm-hmm. But, she's, like, looking over at you guys pretty frequently and kind of squinting her eyes. But after you, like, watch her for a bit, you realize that she's, like, she is doing, like, a mental calculus of everybody, kind of, like, and then you realize she goes over to somebody and offers to get them another drink, that she's, like, keeping tabs on everybody, and also engaging in conversation at the same time, like, just a very seasoned wait professional.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad, because I thought we were going to have to kill her.
I was concerned for a moment. They're good.
After you eat the complimentary mint that comes with your meal, people from the music in the next room over stops, and a bunch of people come over to the bar, and salt went down the wrong pipe.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's what I get for DMing and talking. DMing and eating.
My bad.
No. My bad. So anyway. So people come over and refill their mugs and laughing and cavorting about. Roll me a perception check.
Me?
Yep, you.
Natural one. I have no idea what's going on.
As you look over at the people, your view is blocked as Morana says, "Looks like you all finished your ale. Would you like more?"
You said it's like late afternoon, so like the sun's not down yet.
The sun's just going down, yeah.
I'll have another ale, yeah.
All right. So she takes a copper piece from you. Do you want another one?
Do you have a saucer of milk?
She says, "Sure do."
I'll take a saucer of milk.
All right, copper piece as well for you.
Yeah.
She goes back over. She comes back over with that in a few moments, unfazed by your request for a saucer of milk.
Well, we aren't that far from the
locus. Yeah, that's actually the world building I was doing. Is a lot of tabaxi coming in and out of these parts. And I'll say that's something you do notice. There are a lot of tabaxi here. This is a pretty popular.
Well, I imagine there's probably quite a few in Tabar, too, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that far away.
Yeah. Oh. The door to the roadhouse opens, and a bunch of a half dozen or so travelers, obviously merchants from the look of it, pour in, having, you would guess, just arrived and stopping for the evening. And as you all sit there and sip your second ales, the place starts to fill up from travelers coming in from outside. And so you'd actually gotten here a little early compared to the rest of them. So you have your little corner table,
nice.
The place gets pretty full. After your second meal, do you check in for the evening, or do you?
I think I'd like to sit around and see kind of what the vibe is here. Mm-hmm.
So you see people. The vibe's pretty cheery. People are kind of laughing and gallivanting and having a good time. You see, there's several tables with people that have, like, they're playing cards, and people seem to be kind of, like, coming by and hopping in and then hopping out of the game when they lose their monies. You see a few tables where people are playing dice. And then you also just see tables where it's just, you know, like, people are, you know, the tables have run out, so people are looking for tables and, you know, people looking for company or someone new to talk to have kind of invited people over to sit down with them.
Well, that's not us. Yeah, I think if I'm not seeing anything of interest, I'll probably head up for the night.
Okay. I think I'll probably stay on here and play a couple games of dice.
So after you head up, Tony, right, you know, as you get up, start to get up to get your dice, a cloaked figure comes over to your table and says, "Mind if I join your table?"
Depends on who's asking.
He lowers his cloak, and you see a elven man that you recognize.
Oh, goody.
His name is Irene Wheatflow.
Oh, shit. Irene?
E-I-R-I-N-I.
E-I-R-I-N-I.
He is the adopted son of Tara Wheatflow and high up in the criminal underworld there.
So, like, actual family?
Adopted.
Yeah. Wow. But actual family.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I will pull a dagger out and set it on the table and say, what do you want?
He looks at it, looks at you, and he says, I'd give you the first two shots free, and I'd still take you down. He says, but if it makes you feel better, you can hold on to that.
I mean, it's silly to think I wouldn't bother, no matter who you are.
He says, he kind of holds his hands up. He says, I'm not here to kill you. If I was, I wouldn't be talking to you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, rub it in more. What do you want?
He says, well, that's just professional. If you were sent to kill me, you wouldn't talk to me either, now would you? Mm-hmm. He says, may I sit down? We're making the scene.
Oh, I thought he'd sat down already.
Oh, yeah, no, he said, may I have a seat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought he had sat down presumptuously.
No, he wasn't going to sit unless he sits down, and he says, Morena, he says, the usual. She nods at him and comes over with a stein of a very fancy-looking brew. He nods at her and flips her a couple gold pieces.
Hmm.
He says, did you do it?
No. I fucking didn't. I don't know what the fuck is going on or who fucking actually did it, but whoever did got me put in a fucking basement to be murdered by fucking one thing. By the way, I didn't kill his ass either. I left him down there with all his clothes ripped off, looking like he'd done something real stupid. It's much more my style, don't you think? Hmm.
Says, yeah, I never did take you for much of a mace wielder anyway.
Oh, that sucks. That's a rough way to go.
Yeah, he says, barely was able to identify the body, apparently.
Who do I know that's a mace wielder?
You think about it for a second, and there's a few people, Max, Adelia, Reinhard, were all more of the kind of burly types.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you yourself are, you know, a little burly, but.
Mm-hmm. But Max and Adelia would have the biggest stake.
Yeah, they're the ones.
Reinhard's in the same level that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
He says, because there's a price on your head, you know.
I mean, I assumed as much. That's why the fuck got the fuck out of town. I wasn't gonna walk up to Talia and say, hey, it wasn't me. Sounds like a good way to get a dagger in the gut. What was I gonna do?
He says, if I was in your shoes, find out who actually did it.
I got 15 years of loyalty to that family, and it still got me tied up in a fucking basement without word one. Why do I give a fuck about who did it?
He says, get the price off your head.
You know what? I think I was outgrowing Talia and her family anyway. Your family too. So I'm gonna leave. And when I come back, I guess we'll see how much a price matters. Unless you got a better offer.
He says, no, I just happened to be passing through.
Well, I guess thanks for not knifing me in the back.
He says, even if you did it, you did the wheat flows a favor. He says, makes no difference to us. Gavin Farlight was a brute.
Mm-hmm.
He won't be missed.
No, I don't think so.
He says, Evelyn have any part in it?
Oh, she's the one who told me what happened. I didn't even fucking know he was dead. I went to ask her, funny enough, because, you know, we fucked each other up every once in a while. But you know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Getting scraps.
Yeah. I wanted to know what the fuck she knew. She didn't knife me in the back either, which is also appreciated. And she let me know about Gavin. Who the fuck? What the fuck?
He says, who's the cat you're with?
None of your business.
Suspicious timing.
Suspicious timing?
Yeah, you'd leave town with somebody that's not part of the business.
I was looking for a reason to leave. And you know what? You can tell them that. You can tell everybody in fucking Tabar that I found a reason to leave. It happened to be in the basement at the Blade of One Fang. But you know what? It wouldn't have taken much less than that.
He says, well, for what it's worth, he says, you seem too smart to have done something that dumb.
You seem to be the only one who thinks that. And I think that, that's what everyone needs to know. Isn't it?
He says, he says, One Fang was Casimiro's dog.
Okay. Yeah.
He says, if anybody's sicked him on you, he's him.
Well, and Casimiro's just, you said, an advisor?
Like, he's like the, he's the Grima Wormtongue, the, you know, the...
Her secretary?
No, the one that's, like, the advisor, the one that's always, like, her most trusted lieutenant. Like, not, like, the second in command, but, like, the third in command. Like,
okay. I thought Gavin Farlight was second
in command. Gavin Farlight was the second in command. But, you know, he is more of a thug, whereas Casimiro is more of a brains.
Okay. Well, I mean, either way, they've still got a problem there, and it's not me, so... Whatever.
He says, for what it's worth, Evelyn believes you, too.
She knows who I am. Mostly. Mm-hmm. You don't beat each other bloody on the regular, not get to know who that person is.
He says, for what it's worth, she was talking loudly in the tavern the other day, saying she saw you get on the ship through Cod, so...
I hope she doesn't suffer any negative consequences for that.
She says, well, not from us.
Cool. Well, anything else you can let me know?
He says, just avoid the bar for a while. Let it blow over.
Maybe forever. Who knows?
He reaches into his cloak and pulls out a little rabbit's foot.
Is that, like, just their little...
Slides it across the table. Okay. He says, if you ever decide you want to get back into the business, he says, this will get you in the door.
Yeah, I'll keep it. I think the next time I'm in this neck of woods, it'll be my business.
He says, I hear they bring luck.
I'll keep it. I'll take it.
Add it to my equipment.
He says, well, believe it or not, I didn't come here for you, but other business to attend to.
Yeah. Good luck cheating people.
Back at you. he gets up from the table and then heads into the entertainment room.
Okay. I will not do that. I instead will go directly to my room in concern.
Alright. So, you rest that evening.
Irini Wheatflow? Mm-hmm. Irini, yeah.
It is now the 3rd of Grinning. It is a King's Day, a.k.a. Fantasy Wednesday.
Fantasy Wednesday.
As the two of you make your way... Oh, do either of you use the bathing facilities or anything like that? Or
are you even asking? I gave myself a bath just fine.
I will freshen up, like, in my room. I won't go down there. Prefer to be behind a locked door if at all possible.
So the next morning, you two come down for breakfast. There's a different bartender who's serving breakfast. He's just a grumpy-looking dwarf, and he hands out plates of bacon and eggs and coffee with a much less flair and upbeatness than Miranda the night before. He's like, here's your breakfast. Clunk.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. How'd you sleep?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I mean, it's always weird sleeping in a new place, but I guess I gotta get used to that.
Yeah. This isn't gonna stop. We're on the run. Speaking of on the run, we were followed out of town last night.
Shit, what?
I know. Yeah. They followed me. I mean, hard to miss all of this.
Are you okay?
Yeah, he didn't kill me.
Obviously.
Yeah. From the sounds of it, he maybe followed us directly out of town. Like, as soon as we left, he was following us.
Huh.
Yeah. Don't feel great.
I have no idea.
Me either.
We gotta be a little better about, watching our backs.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. So yeah, he didn't kill me. Apparently, One Fang, the guy we, left with his pants undone.
Yeah.
Got murdered with a mace. It's a Ooh. Rough way to go.
That is, messy.
Yeah. Guy invited me back to, clear my name and, basically laughed in his face. So, you know, any going back is, not really. Probably not really gonna be a thing for me. Maybe one day. When I'm super rich and an adventurer. If we live that long.
But won't they just take all your money when you go there?
No, I'll kill them all if they do that. Oh, so,
okay.
I'll be stronger than them. I can't wait. I mean, like, there's adventurers, you know? Like, there's people who say they're adventurers and then they die really quickly. And then there are adventurers. And, like, kill dragons and shit.
Is that the kind of adventurer you are?
Yeah!
Oh.
Big money, no whammies! I mean, I can't kill a dragon right now, but that's the goal.
Big, never thought of that.
Big money. Kill big things. Get a lot of loot. And then when you walk into a bar, people are like, whoa! Because it's so cool that you're there. That sounds pretty cool to me. That's a goal. Right here. Yep. What about you? No adventuring dreams?
I mean, I've really just been thinking about, like, my next task. I mean, I escaped from the wizard tower, and I'm headed for Umfloco, and, you know, I met you, which has been pretty great. Yeah, so far, I mean, really getting to Umfloco and seeing if I can find out more about me and mm-hmm. my family, and if that's where I belong, and, I mean, putting this whole wizard's tower shit behind me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want to go find something to kill about it?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Fantastic.
Only if they deserve it.
Well, it might even be a them. We'll see what comes up.
Okay.
I will go up to the bar
mm-hmm.
And ask if they have any problems that need somebody stronger to take care of it.
He says, that's a good question. He says, we don't get asked that question too often. People come here as a waypoint. He says, but I tell you what we do have. He says, if you go a couple hours down the road towards Umfloco, he says, not every day. He says, but some days. He says, there's a group of so-called toll enforcers.
Oh, I've heard of them. Oh.
He says,
They tend to leave the bigger caravans alone, being outnumbered and all, but they do tend to harass smaller groups of folks.
You know about how many of them there are?
He says, 4 or 5.
That's a lot. Okay.
He says, okay. Yeah, there's strength in numbers.
Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see.
He says, now they dress like guards. He says, don't let that fool you if you run into them. He says, but, and of course there's the occasional giant monster that comes out of the forest and tries to eat/kill everyone. But, that's pretty unpredictable.
Yeah.
He says, that's what we got Morana for anyway, so.
That's great. What does Morana do?
Oh, she's a retired adventurer, she says.
I told you.
I said, she has the power to stop time with just a word. She could take down pretty much anything comes out of those woods. He says, how do you think we managed to keep this place open?
That's delightful.
Yeah.
No wonder she's so nice. She has no shit to worry about.
She doesn't have a damn thing to worry about. That's amazing.
He says, oh yeah, no, she's loaded.
Super rich, right? That's your man?
Well, yeah.
So see, you kill really cool things and you get really rich.
He says, however, owning this roadhouse, that was her true dream. That was the, end game for her. He says, presumably it reminded her of some place she said when she was younger.
Well.
It was her dream to, she had somebody she looked up to. It was her dream to become that person.
Is this some sort of callback?
No.
Okay. That's funny. Okay, cool.
Just too much information about an NPC you'll probably never see again.
It's good, though.
That's great. I love that she's an adventurer. That's fantastic. Really quick question. Did I get the sense that Irini followed us, or that Evelyn told him about us?
You get the idea. Well, Evelyn definitely told him.
Okay.
Pretty much everything that you guys talked about.
Good.
Which,
standard.
Reversed, you would have done the same.
Yeah.
You also get the idea that he wasn't following you specifically.
Oh, okay.
He said he had other business here, that he wasn't there for you, but it was one of those things where he...
Take an opportunity.
He saw you, was like, well. Mm-hmm.
Cool, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I am excited to potentially be... the pants off of these troll thieves or toll thieves, mm-hmm. troll tolls, toll trolls.
Yeah,
but seeing as there's 4 or 5 of them, should we kind of let a smaller caravan go in front of us? We won't necessarily be following them, but we would keep an eye on them, and then when the inevitable happens, we can come in and take them by surprise.
I love it. Yeah. That's actually really great. You know what? If we drink on the stoop, we can just get an eye of when everybody's leaving.
Sounds great.
2 ale, sir!
Alright, here you go. Copper piece, please.
Hey. Yeah. Math sucks. Okay.
All right, so you all hang out on the stoop and have some breakfast ales.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the caravans, come out and take off. Even or odd?
Even.
All right. So the couple of the big ones leave. Obviously, the two big bandits aren't going to come out, and some of them are heading to the bar anyway. So you wait, and eventually you see a smaller caravan. Looks like perhaps more some smaller time people that are just transporting some goods. There's a couple of guards, but they look a little tired, and maybe retired guards, perhaps, that are just doing this job for the money. And they are in fact heading towards Umfaloko.
Nice. About how many were there?
There's probably about you'd say three merchants and two guards.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah. Is that the one?
Yeah.
And you guys have been waiting, you guys have been waiting here for about an hour.
Okay. So maybe let them get like a 20-minute head start so we can keep an eye on them but not be weirdly close.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll do that then.
20 minutes, they'd probably be out of sight, so...
Oh, okay.
Maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah, whatever it is to
just... kind of keep them on the edge of your vision.
Yeah. We'll just be real casual about it.
Fly casual.
Exactly.
Roll me, I'll call this... I'll let you choose. Stealth or performance?
Oh. I am not stealthy. I am the anti-stealth.
Actually, I would say you could do, this would be like a criminal, this would be like a criminal check.
Okay.
Which I would say for you is like an intelligence plus proficiency, so.
Okay. So, intelligence.
And then you could use calling.
I've got stealth plus proficiency, right?
Yeah, you can use your stealth, or the numbers there are already with your proficiency.
Oh, I keep forgetting that.
So,
intelligence plus proficiency. What's our proficiency? Two?
Two.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Six.
20.
Do you want to spend an inspiration?
No, not yet. Seems early to be blowing that.
Okay.
I would say that it's completely... Like, what I rolled criminal, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I rolled my background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know how I failed, but I failed. Six.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't get much worse than that.
So they take off, and you're just kind of consistently behind them. About 2 hours in, you notice that one of the riders turns around. They're not like... You guys, even though you're on foot, you're able to keep up with them. They've got, like, donkeys and stuff that they're leading, but the guards are on horseback.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guards kind of clops back to you guys. He kind of holds a hand up and says, "Morning."
Hello.
He says, "We couldn't help notice y'all back here." He says, "Safety in numbers. Do you want to come with us?"
Sure.
Come on.
And so we'll just continue to walk slowly.
And I'll just kind of lean over and say, if we have an opportunity before we get to the toll, let's pretend like we have to use the bathroom or something.
Oh, okay. So, well, and we don't know exactly where it is, right?
No.
Did he give us, like, a time?
It's a couple hours.
Couple hours. It's not the end of the
world. Yeah, obviously, they wouldn't have it in the same spot every time.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be kind of distracted by everyone else, and we're two more people.
Yeah.
I mean, they might not even go after the group at all with this many people, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And I mean, seven people is still a pretty small number, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he kind of, his horse walks with you guys as you catch up to the caravan. That's his. He says, what's your old name?
I'm Tony.
Tony?
Teal.
Teal? So his name's Graham.
Graham?
He says, y'all heading out in Filoco?
Yeah, visiting some family.
He nods. Makes sense. He says, oh. He says,
mm-hmm.
He says, "Yeah, we're just taking goods. We have a little route we do, a little circuit."
Hmm.
He says, heading from the bar to Umfaloko, he says, and then from there, we head back up to Rakad.
What kind of goods?
He says, "Well, he says we pick up luxury goods into bar and take them to Umfaloko. In Umfaloko, we pick up lumber and take that up to Rakad." So in Rakad, we usually haul things like pearls, seafood, stuff like that. Stuff that they then sell at Tabar. He says, we usually take a ship from Rakad to Tabar, though. So that's nice, he says. Makes for easy garden for us. For me and Moore.
Moore?
Mm-hmm.
I assume it's M-O-O-R-E.
Mm-hmm.
So you take this route a lot.
He says, yeah, he says, we do. He says, this is probably Moore and I's fifth or sixth loop. I've been doing this for some years.
You ever run into those toll takers?
He says, no, not usually. He says, I think Moore and I keep them scared off.
Well, that's good.
He says, and, you know, if we do run into any trouble, he says, a couple pearls here, a couple coins there.
Oh, you just buy them off?
Whatever. He says, sometimes, yeah. He says, you know, draw on the sword. He says, it's a little harder than it used to be, but
why? What would it be worth to you if you never had to deal with them again?
He says, the bandits that we haven't encountered yet?
But you have encountered.
Well, I've encountered them elsewhere, between Umfaloko and Rakan.
So not these specific bandits, but just general... Yeah. Everyday, generic bandits.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Then never mind.
He kind of cocks his eyebrow. He says, you angling at something there?
Oh, you know, we've had some experience with taking care of, taking the trash out. So
TCB, taking care of bandits?
Yeah. So, wanted to offer our services, if that was something that you'd be interested in. It sounds like you got it pretty well taken care of, though, so.
Guards for hire, huh? Mercenary.
Yeah.
There's no shame in that. That's what Moore and I have done.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're starting to get closer to the caravan, and I says, I'll tell you what. He says, anything happens, I mean, what are the odds of that? he says, anything happens, so he says, yeah, well, you know, if you guys come to help us out, you know, we'll throw some coin your way.
Okay.
Says, assuming Moore and I can't tark a way out of it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really hard to tark your way out.
The kissy face is what really seals it.
I just want you to remember that when this screen is up.
Impenetrable.
Okay, could you give me some more water, too?
Uh-huh.
As he gets get back up to the caravan, he saddles up to Moore and gives him a kiss and says, these folks are handy with the sword if anything happens. And Moore says, I appreciate that.
Howdy doody.
He says, this is, Tony and, Tennille.
Teal.
Oh, sorry. As I get older, I... three halfling brothers, kind of greet you all and say, well, it's good to have company. He says, you never know just when things are gonna happen on these roads and. So it's just good. It's good to travel together, right?
I just have a weird feeling something's going to happen today.
Now, why would you?
I just feel it in my whiskers.
One of the halfling brothers says that something that is that real?
You ever met a tabaxi?
Says, yeah, plenty. We do trade in Umfaloka all the time. But...
You haven't heard about the whiskers knowing?
Whiskers knowing.
The whisker knowing. No, that's a new one on us.
It's a thing.
Okay, then. Well, we'll be ready. Graham Moore, you hear that there's going to be some danger today.
And I whisper, get better quiet.
Hey, let's do a deception check. We are playing Dungeons & Dragons, after all.
Oh, no.
Deception. I mean, I fail, but let's see how bad.
Would you like to spend your inspiration?
No. I don't care what some halflings think about me.
You should.
Why?
This is getting saved for a desperate moment in the fight.
You said deception?
Yeah.
Six.
That's good deception score, though.
You roll me an insight.
Nine.
Yeah, they seem to believe you.
Cool. Hey. Suckers. The whiskers know.
Maybe. Maybe.
I feel it in my whiskers.
Anyway, the Halfling brothers. Well, anyway, I'm Abe. This is Gabe. And the good-looking one there is Mark.
Interesting. Interesting naming scheme.
He says our parents didn't have a good sense of humor.
Oh, okay. Are you guys twins?
He says, no, we're triplets, actually.
Oh. That's even weirder.
Yeah. You know, it's, so you're telling me.
Yeah.
He says...
Or is it Mark, Gabriel, and Abraham? Because then it's not weird.
No, well, it's Abe, Gabe, and Mark.
Never mind. Nope.
He says, and that's the order we came out in, too.
Okay.
It's like they ran out, and they were like, oh, crap, we gotta name this one, too.
Got a third one. Shit.
How about Mark?
Mark comes over and says, that's not so bad.
Yeah, at least your name doesn't rhyme with your other brothers.
He says, that'd be dumb. If you
it would be
two siblings
dumb.
Had rhyming names and one didn't.
I know, right? The dumbest.
The three of us, we're MAG Imports, that's MAG. Huh. He says, we've been riding these roads for 7 years now. Mm-hmm. He says, we do all right. We don't, make adventuring money, but we do enough.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Graham says, everybody, hear that? Roll me a perception check.
Three.
As you come around a bend in the road, you see to be four people standing in the road with guard uniforms on.
Hmm.
And they say, surprise! Inspection! Nobody expects the surprise inspection.
I expected it.
And can they see all of us, or are we still kind of coming around the bend?
Are you going to try to stay hidden?
I'm going to try and get up into the tree.
Roll me a stealth check.
Ooh. Right, can I just whisper something to her right before we go?
Yeah.
If you're going to run away, I'm going to fly at him from above to surprise him.
Okay.
See you on the other side.
Roll me a stealth check as well.
No, not surprise. I'm going to go up and right on top of them. Do you still want me to roll still?
Yeah.
Okay. For me whispering?
Mm-hmm.
That's better.
I got a 13.
Stealth? The anti-stealth. 13.
They say, yes, we are guards of the free cities. And they say, doing an inspection here today. Perhaps collecting tariffs on these exports and imports.
Liar!
Who said that?
I don't know.
Graham says, no, what's these tariffs? Perhaps we can resolve this quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, we don't want much, just maybe 10% of what you're carting.
That's ridiculous.
Abe, Gabe, and Mark kind of are looking at each other, then look back at you. They look at the guards. And they're doing some calculus in their head, and they say, "Yes, you'll have." Mark says, "Yes, you'll have to hash out this tariffs with our financial advisor here." And he nods to you.
I begin flying with my wings, and I just fly up and over them, and kind of hang there in midair.
And the lead inspector says, "Well, how can I talk to you if you're up there?"
I can hear you just fine. What family do you work for?
Family? What are you talking about?
The arena sent me to clear this road.
Roll me an intimidation check. Yeah. With advantage.
Yeah. Ooh, thank goodness for advantage. Fuck, it was worse! Damn it!
Good thing it was advantage and not disadvantage.
I know! I mean, it was only one different. I rolled out a 4 and a fucking 5. God, I'm rolling like shit. Intimidation, it doesn't even matter. So, 8.
They say, is that name supposed to mean something so far from Tabar?
Okay, well, then I will pull out my longsword and land in front of him. Well, actually, my longsword and my rapier.
They look at you and they say, I admit, you're impressive. But they look at Graham and Mark, or Graham and, not Mark, what was his name?
Moore.
Moore, thank you. Look at Graham and Moore and they say, but those two, the three of you versus the 4, or should I say 5, and he kind of waggles his eyebrows, of us. That's right, we have another one in the trees. It'd just be easier for all of us if you pay the toll.
Fuck you.
Excuse me?
Fuck you.
We outnumber you.
Maybe you should step aside.
You already got an 8 on your intimidation.
I know! Doesn't mean I can't keep playing it.
And they say, well, for no reason at all, I'm just going to start putting little dice out here.
For no reason at all. I imagine that I am just right there.
Okay.
Did I believe him about having someone else in the trees?
Roll me a insight check. All your dice are going to dice.
I literally have not rolled any. I've only rolled 1 above 10. You said insight? Mm-hmm. Fucking 4. I don't know shit.
You believe him.
Of course I do.
Roll me a perception check.
What's up?
Roll me a perception check.
Look at that. 8, 3, 5.
12.
You spot in the trees nearby, there is a half-length crossbow.
Can I get him with a magic missile?
Yeah!
You will be able to when we start combat, which will be in just 1 moment.
Yeah! Wait, what are these? Oh, these are the other people.
There's Graham and Moore.
They're pretty. I like those dice.
And then these are the triplets,
mm-hmm.
huddled over there.
That's right. That's so funny. I'm just going to grab my dice for you. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out some other superstitious way to make these dice roll better. I'm aware. Very well aware.
Oh. So, they say, well, we tried to do this the easy way, but I guess if we can't take 10%, we'll take 100%. And then they say, roll for initiative.
I'm just going to roll my dice a couple times here. Hold on.
Is my initiative actually negative 1?
Yes.
Minus 2.
5.
Fucking 3! Wow! What is this nonsense? And then I just rolled 13, 13, 19. But the next time I roll, it's going to be bad. Spend all the energy. Okay. Anyway. Let's see here.
So, Tony, what'd you get on your initiative?
Oh, 5.
Taika?
Less than that. 4, I think. I can't believe it.
Hey. The lead guy goes first at initiative 22.
Jesus Christ, we're so screwed.
He is going to draw his scimitar, and he is going to make two attacks. Let's see. 15 and 16.
15 misses.
16 hits?
Mm-hmm. Well, my AC is 16.
Yeah.
So it hits, right? Yeah.
He's going to deal you 5 points of damage.
Good old Graham.
And then he says, Tolman, attack! And then...
Tolman.
And so these guys are going to charge. All right, so... Alright, so one more attack on you. They draw their scimitars. 21.
Yeah.
For 5.
Okay.
And then Graham and Moore. Moore takes a hit. And then the guy you see in front of you shoots a crossbow bolt.
Wait, which one of us sees this?
She is.
Oh, okay.
Tony sees him. Against you. You don't see him, so he will have advantage on the attack. You roll a 4 and a 5, so
neither
of those will hit.
I love it. Love to hear it.
That puts up Graham and Moore. They're going to attack back at the bandits, both scoring hits.
Nice. Well, they are experienced.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They pull their blades out, and then, you know, you realize you maybe...
Oh! I could have gotten a brace attack. I forgot about my maneuvers.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Sorry I interrupted.
No, that's okay. You're playing an entirely new class to you.
Oh, plus, I get an attack... No, because it's a reaction. So brace is also a reaction, right? Where they move into my range.
Yeah.
So I would... only one reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this, I will attack... Doesn't even fucking matter. Because that's a 6, so 12 to hit.
On
whichever the first one was when he moved.
Oh, the captain? The miss on the captain.
Yeah, okay.
Would have hit one of the bandits.
That's not who I would have done it against. Yeah. So, okay.
Tony, you're up. You're up in a tree.
How far am I from the guy with the crossbow?
Let's say 30 feet.
That's not too far, though.
Yeah.
Why damn it?
Oh, because I want to do Burning Hands.
Well, how far is that?
That's 15.
Oh,
you can move 15 feet.
Yeah. So I'm going to move and then try Burning Hands.
Okay.
Burn his ass.
And since he is, he does not have a climbing speed like you do.
You have a climbing speed?
She climbs
cool.
as quick as she walks.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so he'll have disadvantage on this deck save, I'm going to say, because he's perched on a branch kind of awkwardly.
Nice.
Ooh, but this advantage really helped out. They rolled a 19 and a 3. So he fails his deck save, so he'll take full damage. So go ahead and roll damage for Burning Hands.
Okay.
It's
a
d6?
It's like, I think, 3d6, if I recall correctly.
Is it?
Yep, 3d6.
Oh, nice. For some reason, I thought it was lower at level 1.
And then since he's in a tree, it'll catch the tree he's on fire.
Right.
I love it.
Well, and he and all the burning tree bits become projectiles coming down. 7.
Not bad.
Nice, he is bloodied.
Nice.
Cool. Anything else you want to do in your turn?
Can I?
I don't know if you have any bonus actions or. Or if you wanted to move more.
I mean, I'd love to be able to protect myself, but I don't know if I can.
Yeah, that's fine. You're done. You get your shield reaction if somebody tries to hit you.
You
so.
Fucked okay. him up.
Yeah,
I like
you
it.
Put this guy bloody. So,
mm-hmm.
Tekka, your turn.
All right, I'm going to attempt an attack against this main motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. What'd you?
Natural 1. Oh, can I just? Okay, I can just re-roll it. I forget. 5!
Oh no.
What the fuck? So I'll try an attack on the other guy.
What was the total?
11.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you're going to bonus action attack with the...
Yeah. 16. Finally! So that's 21.
And this is on one of the side bandits?
Yeah, the other, the purple guy.
Okay. Yeah, do the damage.
Yeah. That's D8. Oh, wow. Okay, that's better. 11. Eight on a D8.
You drop him to zero.
Damn!
You clumsily miss the big guy, and the second guy kind of sees it as an opening and lunges in, and then you just, with the other hand, right back.
Stab him.
Get him right under the jaw, and he falls over dead.
So as he's sliding off my sword, I'll look at the other guy and go, what?
Roll me an intimidate check.
Maybe I'll roll better! No, I won't! Four! Jesus! Says, I'm gonna just set all these dice on fire.
He says, you just killed Fred! Fuck you, I'm gonna kill you! Alright, anything else?
No, I'm not moving. Yeah, no, I'm good.
Let's borrow one of mine.
I think it's me.
Alright, he's gonna roll two attacks.
Okay.
Natural 20 and a 6.
Look at this. 4, 4, 8, 9, 4. 3 fours!
Alright, so he
he gets a nat 20 on me?
Enraged the death of Fred.
Fred. Two natural ones?
He deals you 8 points of slashing damage.
Oh, that's a lot. Okay. 11. Okay.
He says, you killed Fred, you bastard! Actually, that's not his voice. You killed Fred, you bastard! No, that's his voice either, but we'll go with it.
His voice was more goblin.
Yeah, goblin. Alright, bandits.
Kill Fred!
Two more attacks on Graham and Warren. Those both hit.
No.
Graham and Warren are looking a little hurt.
Oh no.
No! They would have just paid the man!
Roll me a d6 fire damage.
Oh, nice.
3.
The bandit will fall out of the tree to try to put himself out. And when he does that, he knocks himself out. And so he is just laying there on the ground on fire.
Nice.
Nice.
I like it.
Puts up Graham and Moore. Moore missed, but Graham got a critical, killing him, his guy.
This guy's dead, right?
Yeah, you can take number one and...
Oh, this guy.
Number one? Oh, sorry, yeah. Sorry, two, rather.
Okay.
Two and three.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Puts up Tony.
Okay. So, I am going to... I just did my burning hands. And they're bloody, right?
So the one regular bandit that's on Graham and Moore is bloodied. The bandit captain has not been hit yet.
Okay,
I whiffed it.
I am... trying to figure out the best... Yeah, I think I'm going to try Ray of Frost at the guy that hasn't been hit yet.
Nice.
Okay, so roll me an attack.
What's attack?
If you look on your attack actions, I think you have Ray of Frost as one of the...
Oh.
In your book.
Right here.
Yeah.
Plus 5?
Yeah. Plus 5. So it's plus 5.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, plus 5 to hit.
Okay. Ooh! Yeah!
That'll hit him for sure.
Yeah.
So roll damage?
Kill him! Oops.
1d8. I put 1d6 on here.
Oh.
I'm gonna roll my d8.
That's
mm-hmm,
a good
mm-hmm,
idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I chose it, is because I saw the...
Oh, yeah.
The d8.
Oh.
One.
Bummer.
I can't use my inspiration to reroll that, can I?
No.
No. Uh-uh.
I mean, at least it's something.
Every point counts.
Every point counts. And then it also slows him, right? He can't...
Right.
Or he can't take reactions. Or no, that's...
Shot. Yeah, a frigid beam of white light streaks toward a creature within range, makes a ranged spell attack against the target. On a hit, it takes 1d8 cold damage, and its speed is reduced by 10 feet until the start of your next turn.
Okay.
Nice.
So you just little bits of... actually, how's the spell look? Like, do you imagine it has any sort of special effect because you're casting it, or...?
Yeah, I imagine that I make, like, a hissing noise when I cast it. So it's like... And it's just, like, a blue light that comes from my hands and heads toward my target.
All right, so... little, like kind of almost like cat's teeth of ice shards, like,
hit it. Yeah, like...
Yeah, hit into him, and just kind of stick to his legs, making him... Just, he's getting angry now. Pika.
Two attacks. Okay, that's not... That's above 10. Jesus, so that's a 17 to hit.
Yeah, can't even parry his way out of that. So yeah, that'll hit.
He has parry, does he?
He okay. Does have parry, yes.
Okay. Yep. 4, 8 points of damage on that one. Yes. And second one, Jesus fucking Christ. That's a 9.
Okay, 9 in this.
Yep. I'm gonna use my second wind, or is that a bonus action?
Second wind is a bonus action.
Yeah. Okay, so I've already done that, so I can't do that again.
Mm-hmm. You still have an action surge you could use.
Oh, I could just attack him again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's just gonna go ahead and do this. Don't be a bitch. Fuck. 11.
That'll miss.
Yep. No bigger.
All right.
Maybe he'll hit me and he'll miss. I don't get to deal with that.
All right. It's his turn.
Oh, you know what? Okay, no, never mind. I can't do that. I already used all my stuff. Go ahead. All
right. He's going to draw a dagger.
Okay.
So he's not fucking around.
Dagger might do it. I've only got 11 hit points left.
All right. So two attacks. 11 and 13 total.
Both missed! Riposte!
And he's going to throw a dagger at Graham. Hitting Graham.
Oh no, Graham!
Graham is bloodied and looking pretty bad.
That's okay. He's bloodied. That doesn't mean he's dead. I would like to use Riposte because he missed me, right?
He did.
Fuck! Another 5!
Ah.
Why?
Alright. Does Riposte let you add the... Security die to the attack roll or the damage?
To the attack roll.
So you
just to attack roll.
Yeah, so that means you get to add your d8.
Oh, I thought it was to the damage. Mm. Hold on. Let's check the book. Because I don't actually know.
I got it pulled up here. Riposte. Oh, it's to the damage. Okay.
Okay, it is to the damage. Okay. I just wrote it wrong. Okay. Damage roll.
It's precision attack lets you add priority dice to the attack.
Yeah. Maybe I should do that instead. Okie doke. Well, that's 2 super die down.
All right.
Nothing to show for it.
Bandit's turn on Graham and Moore. He's seeing Graham pushed, and so he's going to focus on him. Missing.
Good.
Graham and Moore's turn. They're going to attack that last bandit. Graham hits and does enough to knock him out. So
Graham and Moore were just fine without us.
I mean, they're pretty hurt. Like
that's fair.
And but we also had something to prove.
Yeah.
And the bandit captain is still pretty fresh. Okay. So.
I mean, I'm bloody, to be fair.
All right, back to the bandit captain. He is going to flip up another dagger. 2 attacks on you, 1 hit. 1 attack on Graham and Moore. Hits Graham. Graham falls over.
No! We don't even have any healing potions.
And then
the health amulet.
And then the that just gives you more hit points.
Yeah.
And then one hit on you, I said, for 4 points of damage.
Okay.
And one miss.
11 minus 4, 7?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. And then I will use another super die. Yes! The fucking hits!
Nice.
Finally! So that's 2d8 of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Going down! Ooh, he might actually be going down. That's 14.
Nice.
Points of damage.
It's not yet bloodied.
Oh, God, we're in trouble! can I use... No, it's not my turn.
Yeah. All right, all the bandits are dead. puts up Graham Moore. Moore is going to bend over and pull out a potion, put it in his mouth, use the action.
Thank goodness.
Tony, here.
Okay, and so it's just those two that are still alive?
Yeah, this guy's gone.
Finish him!
So yeah, that's Caitlin. That's,
and then the rainbow one is the one that's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
I want to jump down and use cat's claws.
So you can charge him and attack with your claws?
Yeah.
Nice.
I need a little die that represents yourself.
Yeah.
So you dash at him. All right, roll.
And then attack.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness.
15.
15 will just miss.
Can I do inspiration?
No, 15 just hits.
Okay. And then 1d6. Nice. 6.
Whoa! Wow. Nice! That's a good fucking damage roll.
Nice.
Alright. Okay, your turn.
Okie dokie.
Oh, do you want to make a second claw attack as a bonus action?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
1.
Can I take inspiration?
Sure. Take your point.
Yeah.
You pay me to re-roll that. Oh.
9.
That would miss.
Okay. That's okay.
Yeah. Alright, take it. You're
up. Okie dokie. Attack 1. Yay! That one hits 2. 20 lots.
That hits.
So it's just 1d8. 8! God! Oh no, wait! Plus... So, 12. I didn't add any of my modifiers to my last turn, FYI. Oh. I just fucking realized.
You hit twice, right?
No, it was with the riposte. That's the only time I've hit.
Okay, so
I add 4.
4 more points? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then this one is 12.
Okay. So he is bloodied.
Good. I'm going to hit him again. Oh, good. Yeah, 20.
Nice.
Another 8! Fuck, that's another 12 points of damage!
Alright, he's gone from not being bloody to looking pretty fucking hurt.
The tides have turned! I'm so excited. Yeah, that's, action bonus action. I'm not gonna move.
Alright.
Mm, good, good.
His turn, he is going to look at all his dead comrades and you two, and he's going to disengage, and he's gonna start making for the forest. He gets 30 feet away.
It's only if the... Oh, wait. He took the disengage action. Okay.
Well, you want it if they leave, right?
No, only if he moves into my range, and then when they miss with a melee attack.
Okay.
And then bait and switch is where I can do the AC.
All right, so he's 30 feet away from y'all.
Okay.
Puts up Graham and Moore. They see him running, and they kind of pick each other up and... they kind of shake their... They just say, good riddance!
Oh, don't worry, I'm gonna kill him.
puts up, Tony.
Okay, I'm going to shoot 3 magic missiles at him.
Nice!
Nice. Are you casting the spell, or are you gonna use the wand?
Ooh. 1d6... Oh, no, that's the recharge. Let's do the wand.
Alright, so you're gonna just use one charge?
I'm gonna...
So one charge will give you 3 missiles.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mocker of Charge, and then roll me 3d4 plus 3.
3d4 plus... 3? Yeah. I've got 2d4.
You can get more d4. Oh, here we go. There you go.
So you said 3d4 plus what, 3?
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm.
6 plus 3 is 9.
Nice.
And that was a 7 plus 3 is 10. Mm. 4, 2, and 1.
Yeah. 7 plus 3, 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I miscounted too.
So he falls over, dead.
Yay! We hit the right note together there, didn't we?
So he just starts running, and you turn, and using the wand, you point it in magic missile, and these three darts shoot out of it that have, they have little screaming goblin heads, and they just go, they slam into his back, and he just slams forward on the ground, dead.
Holy nice. Shit, I can't believe that worked. I mean, I knew that would work.
You keep saving my ass. It's getting a little embarrassing.
Graham,
just say it.
Graham's like, oh, I guess he... Yeah, sure, we could kill him.
It's already done.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks.
I will saunter up and start...
These guys, by the way, are like painfully neutral good.
That's funny. I'm going to start going through the bodies, just like...
Yeah, you find 5 scimitars, 5 crossbows.
Okay.
And then I'd say none of them have anything magical on them.
Mm-hmm.
However, you do find 60 gold pieces.
Ooh,
in various currencies.
Nice! 60 gold, split that 50-50?
Sure, thank you.
Of course.
Graham and Maura come over and they say, oh, are we splitting the gold?
I mean, it seems fair. How much do we tell them that we have?
10. And Graham and Maura just laughs. He says, don't worry. He says, don't worry about it. He says, and in fact, and Maura reaches into his pocket and he kind of palms something to you.
Okay.
And you look at it. It is a hard candy. And a platinum piece.
Oh, okay, okay.
And he does the same for you, Tony.
Oh, nice.
He's like, can we have 2 candies? A platinum? Damn, son.
He says, I don't go spend that all in one place.
I'm really excited about the candy. Thanks, Moore.
It's got a nice, like, kind of caramelly butterscotch taste to it.
That's awesome. Cool.
I'm gonna save my candy for later. You should never know when you're gonna come across a goblin that likes candy.
Have you come across a lot of goblins that like candy? I guess you didn't say
I've
that.
I've never seen a goblin, but they might like candy. I don't know. I'd like to be prepared.
Fair enough, fair enough, fair enough. Good bet. How many goblins have I seen living in the city?
Oh, I mean, a few.
A few here and there, yeah, but not like. There's not, like, a goblin enclave around here or anything.
I mean, they're just a part of society, so, you know, you see them walking around the town, spending money just like everybody else. But some of the crime families have goblin, you know, working for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can't believe that they, like, interact directly with goblins. Ugh.
Wait, are you saying this out loud?
Yeah, I'm a racist toward goblins.
Does that make you like your wand less?
What's that?
Does it make you like your wand of magic missiles less, knowing that the
little goblin face?
Little goblin face.
No, that's why it has the goblins, is because I think they're really scary.
Oh, okay.
Monstrous.
I'm going to use my second wind.
Yeah.
To get some health back. 10! Nice!
Yeah, I guess we can take a short rest, so if you want to spend some hit dice to get your hit points. I don't think you took any hits, did you?
I used one of my wands, but that gets recharged at the end of the day, so I think we're fine.
Graham and Moore start digging graves for the bandits.
Aw.
Do you want help?
The halfling triplets begrudgingly pitch in. And they say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 graves and 5 of us. No, you 2 can just hang back.
I'm going to sit there and second wind. I was pretty hurt.
You take a short rest, so if there's any hit dice you want to spend, if you're not back at full. So you spend the hour watching them dig graves while you get back to hit.
I'll go ahead and spend a hit die. Ooh, wow, that's really good. Yeah, I'm almost up to full. Cool. I need to find a better way to mark my hit die.
You should really get better at climbing into trees. They really didn't go after me up there.
I should have stayed flying, is what I should have done. I landed on the ground, and that was a huge tactical error. Huge! I shouldn't have let him talk. I should have been flying, and then got him in the face with my longsword as I landed. That would have been...
As they start putting the dirt back on it, Graham pulls out a little... It's a metal cube inside of another metal cube.
Mm-hmm.
And he just starts saying a prayer to it.
Hmm. Are you religious?
Do we know what it is?
Roll me a religion check, both of you, since I'm guessing... I think on your survey is that both of you, neither of you put that you were religious.
Ew. 18.
That is the holy symbol of Dimbora, the keeper of time.
Oh, okay.
Keeper of time?
Mm-hmm. People pray to her for several things, but one of them is a peaceful or meaningful death, so...
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't know your symbols.
That's because I haven't given you the handout yet.
Hey, even if you gave me the handout, I'm still not going to fucking know.
Yeah, okay.
Except for a winking cat. That one's really obvious. That's funny.
So once that's done, they say, well, we'll get the Oomph Loco an hour later than expected, but should get there in one piece. Should we get a move on?
Yeah, yeah. And you've got all your gold and goods.
That we do.
I would call this a win as I shake off the limp that I had.
We also got a platinum and 30 gold.
So. Right? And a heart candy. It was delightful.
Well, yeah. For the goblins. Or whoever else I think might want to eat. Yes, I could give it to someone in a nice way.
You don't like candy?
No, not particularly. We have a hard time tasting sweet.
So like a savory candy would be up the alley.
Yeah, or like a fish flavored candy.
I bet they've got a lot of that in Oomph Loco.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever been to Oomph Loco?
I was born there.
But like been there as an adult at
no,
all?
No. Okay. I've been in the Wizard Tower. I was like traveling all around. I met you, and now this is going to be the first time.
Awesome. And you were stolen, like, when you were, like, 5?
When I was a kitten, so yeah, pretty young.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that wizard's dead, but also kind of mad that I can't kill him with you.
Yeah, I killed him pretty good.
Fair enough.
Graham says, well, you might be able to kill him again.
Oh, yeah?
He says, yeah, you know, resurrection, it's possible again.
Shit.
Do we know that? Do I know that?
It's probably not common knowledge.
Okay, so then rewind. Would my character know what resurrection is at all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, everyone else would.
But, it's just a thing of myth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently for the last few years it's been spreading, people being able to bring people back to life.
Bullshit.
No, for real. Saw it myself.
That's gonna be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it used to be when someone died... What's it more? He says you could count on him being dead.
That's a weird wink of a line. I guess he didn't technically wink, but...
Mora's like, we've had a fairly long career as guards.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
You know, and it's a good thing that some of the folks we put down didn't come back. He says, though, less of a worry now that Graham and I's kids are out of the house.
How many kids do you guys have?
He says, well, we have 3, you know, biological children. We've got a couple more that we took in.
Oh.
Yeah, he says, you know, in your garden, in the city, well, you know, sometimes people fall between the cracks in the system and they need somebody.
Talia just goes quiet and stares into the middle distance.
Tyka,
yeah, sorry. I was thinking,
somewhere Talia also goes quiet and stares into the middle distance. And it goes back to her criming.
Back to her criming. That's the one.
Graham's like, oh yeah, I've got little miniature portraits I had painted. Do you want to see them? And he pulls out some little tiny paintings about that.
I imagine that Tyka is just like, and has separated and is walking silently a little bit.
Moore's like, Graham, every time you bring those out,
you're talking to them too, right? Like, yeah, I'm fading a little.
Graham and Moore chat amicably with you, Tony, and you, Taike, whenever you're around. They chatter the whole way. Mm-hmm. From on their horses next to each other. Abe, Gabe, and Mark also just kind of chatter amongst themselves using the halfling tongue. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which I know.
Oh, you do know?
Ooh, nice.
Yes, because my nurse.
Right, right, right. And so basically they don't realize that you can hear them.
I know, and they probably talk shit about me.
They talk a lot about, like, you know, the various goods they have and where they're going to hawk them when they get to Umfaloko. But as you get closer to the city, they start talking about the two of you being like, you know, Graham and Moore have really started to, you know, they're getting near retirement. I wonder if we could hire what were their names again? It was Tyker and... Tony?
And I say Tony and Teal.
Teal and Tony? What do you say?
I say Tony and Teal.
Right? Oh, you speak halfling.
Oh, yeah. Did you not know that?
Why would I know that?
I don't know. I think it's pretty ignorant for you to assume that people don't know your language.
Well, you got me there, buddy.
Sure did.
Finger crossbow. They say, well, would you be interested in caravanning around with us?
We'll have to think about it. We'll get back to you on that.
You know, they say when somebody from Umfaloko says maybe, that's a no.
I mean, that very well might be true, but one of us isn't from Umfaloko, so.
Is Umfaloko just Seattle?
The Valley Northwest, apparently.
Anything but a fuck yes is a no.
Yeah. That's the one.
Oh, okay, well. If you change your mind, I'll be here.
Do Graham and Moore look insulted?
They don't speak halfling.
Oh, this, the whole
no,
conversation.
The whole conversation.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I don't even know what's going on. Okay. That's funny.
But you're probably pretty surprised that I know halfling.
Mm-hmm.
And then I turn and I say, I told you I'm smart.
I didn't disbelieve you.
So, as the sun once again makes its way across the sky and sets, you all arrive at the border of Umfaloko, the City of Cats.
Yay!
And that is where we'll pick up next time.
Yay! How the fuck do you spell Umfaloko?
U-M-F-O-L-O-K-O.
F-O-L-O-K-O.
It's on the handout. Older.
But I was trying to sound it out, and I was like, none of these words make letter sounds. We didn't die again!
We didn't die again.
Did not.
I forget, and Glam, did we ever make it to the City of Cats? I don't think we did.
No,
I don't think so.
I would have remembered that.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting.
But there was the cat orgy.
Oh, yeah.
That we went to, and
yep.
Stumbled up, performed at.
See, I thought that was in Faloco.
No. That was the City of Trees.
Oh.
That was a tree city. Because I remember that because it was really cool. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I don't remember anything else, like, of that episode in particular. Yeah. Or almost anything of that campaign, to be honest.
It was years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, like, 2018, 2019.
Gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, good session, everybody. Looking forward to picking this back up again soon.
Cool. Nice.
Thank you.
Oh, look at that.